Your Partner in Success Radio is a free business podcast with host Denise Griffiths. It's all about great stories, conversation, and context to help you move your business and life forward with actionable tips and advice from her guest experts. To listen and subscribe, just find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you consume your podcasts.
Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. The question today is, how do you live an unlimited life? I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and my guest today is Nathaniel Zurbig, and I know I've mispronounced that. I'll get him to correct it for me in just a moment. Nathaniel is the founder and CEO of the for-profit business Unlimit You and soon-to-be nonprofit organization Live Life to the Fullest. Nathaniel has a fascinating story. He has been chronically ill for 30 years, has been through 3 failed kidney transplants, had over 4,300 dialysis treatments so far just in order to survive, had 3 lung infections, and by all medical predictions over the years, he shouldn't be able to walk, talk, amount to anything, and actually he probably shouldn't be alive. So here's the thing. Nathaniel is a multiple award-winning global inspirational speaker, certified coach, and DISC, D-I-S-C consultant, whose aim is to impact and inspire people with a strategy that he calls 4 Steps to Unlimit Your Life. And through his strategy, he is able to help people learn how to create a victorious mindset that helps them create the path to their purpose, significance, and expand their unlimited potential and be their own biggest inspiration. And Nathaniel today is going to share just how important it is to know yourself to be able to live the unlimited life. Nathaniel, good morning. It's good to have you here. And I think you're calling from Zurich, aren't you?
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for having me. Firstly, I'm absolutely excited to be here live. And yes, exactly. I'm calling in from Zurich. Actually not anymore morning but afternoon, so it's amazing to be connected.
I know one thing about this podcast, and I'm always so grateful for the people who come visit with me here, because I get to meet people from all over the world with amazing stories and, you know, so much to share about what you do, how your life is, how you can help people. And I really appreciate you taking the time to be here. So the audience, I just need to tell you, I've been having a bit of trouble with my connectivity. We just got through with a hurricane and, you know, everything's a little bit spotty. So we're going to just talk and chat and hope that it works for as long as it works. So Nathaniel, tell me a bit about yourself before I get to asking you questions, because the unlimited life, that's a fascinating topic.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the biggest part you already shared in the beginning, and as you might imagine, you as listener, that I have an incredible chronic illness since I turned 1 year old, which was about exactly 30 years ago. And I've been through a lot of difficulties with my life, emotionally, physically, as well spiritually. But today I really appreciate life and so much gratitude in life, because after those years I realized that a lot of pain has turned into purpose, and I live the dream today to be a speaker and a mentor, and I love to help people to live the unlimited life, to live life to the fullest, because I realized that no matter how difficult things are or could get, we always have a choice to get into the opposite direction in terms of building up a hope and like an expectation for the future. And I'm turning 32 years old in November, and every year it's been a blessing, even though there have been a lot of hard times. And living back in Zurich or not back in Zurich, but back in Switzerland since 2017, before I used to live in Australia and for 4.5 years. And it's been a great life so far with a lot of interesting times. And that's what I am today.
And I really appreciate your story. When we had our pre-interview, I shared with you that my brother is a double lung transplant patient. And I have often I don't say it to him because I wouldn't, but I've often wondered how he makes it through some of the days that he goes through. And I think if I had to take a wild guess, that he has largely the same attitude that you do. Life is a gift. It's a blessing. And you get up every day and you do your best.
Yeah, absolutely. I think how do I say that? What I realized in my life is that the moment you have difficulties, you really learn to appreciate things way more. You learn about being grateful. You learn about being looking at the positive side of life, and you don't. Unfortunately, not everyone does it, but I think we all have a choice to do that, to really approach life with a fighting attitude. And I once got a really great insight of a speaker. So there's a bird in New Zealand that is actually that cannot fly. So the person asked somebody over there, "Hey, why does that bird not fly?" And the person told him, "Look, the bird has never something to fight to. It doesn't have any other animals around it. And so what happened is that bird always can walk in safety and doesn't have to react in another way." And I think that's the same with our life. The more safety we have, the more comfort we have, the more everything goes according the way we want, the less we are used to fight to it. And but the beauty is in different aspects, in struggles, in pains, in crisis, we really learn to be creative. We learn to find another ways how we need to survive somehow. And I think that's a great blessing to have if you go through difficulties.
I agree with you. And we all go through small difficulties, big difficulties, life-threatening difficulties. But I have learned, because I've done this, and I'm not proud to admit it, but if you live a small life, and for a long time I deliberately led a very small life because it was safe, it wasn't fun. And I didn't learn a whole heck of a lot through it. So I agree with you. The more you experience life, and I'm not saying, you know, go outside and hit your toe with a hammer for crying out loud, but learn to be grateful, learn to be in a state of gratitude, and then figure out exactly what it is that you have to do that day and do it. Don't sit around and whine and cry about it, which so many people tend to do these days, I'm afraid. I see things that make me just go, what the heck? Why are you not grateful for everything that you've got? You're standing upright. You can breathe. What the heck is wrong with you? Yeah, I'm getting a little bit ticky about all this god-awful news that's global, and it just seems so wrong. So gratitude, I think, is, and that's what I'm hearing from you, gratitude is what keeps you going.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's all about having a perspective into what direction we look. And I think gratitude comes from looking into the direction of, okay, I might have the crisis, but I can still do different things that other people might not be able to do. And I had, of course, it's a lifelong learning process that everyone has to go through. Or if you want to keep being grateful, you constantly have to do it. You have to shift your mindset to look at the things that still are there, look at the thing you still can do, or look at the thing that still function or existing. And but at the end of the day, I think it's so important to really focusing on the positive side of what is still happening or still there, because as soon as you switch into the other direction, where you see like, oh, I cannot do this anymore, this is not working anymore, I don't have this anymore, then what happens in your mind or in your brain is that you attract all those negative things around you, and then it's like a snowball. It gets bigger and bigger, and it gets really difficult to get back out of it. Then all of a sudden you see everything is negative, or everything is crappy. And I love that we have the choice as human beings to be and to enjoy, to think about all that, what is still there, what we can be, still can do or have or whatever still is existing.
Our mindsets, I think, are the most important thing we have. At least that's how I have learned to be a stronger, happier, more grateful person. And with a cruddy mindset, or stinking thinking, whatever you want to call it, if you're constantly telling yourself, oh, I've got a headache, oh, I don't like this, oh, guess what? All of a sudden, and I know you've noticed this, once you start talking to yourself, and we all have those internal conversations where we're talking to ourselves. And I have to tell you, it took me a while to learn this, but when I finally figured out that I was speaking to myself in a way that if anybody, and I mean anybody, ever had the guts or the insanity to speak to me, I would have bloodied their nose. And I was doing it to myself. So, and I still do. I still will go, oh, now, hang on, Denise, back it up, and I'll have a little chat with myself and say, no, 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 none of that is true. Stop it. And then I go find something to replace that thought. But mindset, as you know, through all of your illnesses and, you know, the things that you go through on a daily basis, mindset is critical. Is that correct? Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. It's so critical because it's just, I think it all comes back to the mindset, to how we get up, to how we see the world, to how we see the crisis, the difficulties. And I often tell myself, hey, look, whether you look at the crisis, things that might go wrong, or you look at the things that might go right, both of it takes a lot of energy. And why not spending the energy that we have into what can go right? So I think we naturally are drawn to the negativity because it's easier to look at what is not there than what could be or what can be there. And for me, I really call it faith, because you look on both ways, whether negative or positive, you look to something that is not existing. Let me clarify that. For example, somebody falls on the knees, and you all of a sudden you have talked about, oh, okay, I have to go to the doctor, there's something wrong with your knee, but you haven't even checked it, or you haven't even have a report about what's wrong. So what we do is already, hey, that knee is going, that's broke, that's really painful. We look at the pain. But at the other side, if we would look, I would say like, hey, that's going to go away and it's going to get better. Both of those situations need faith. So we look at something that we cannot see yet. And I think that needs a lot of energy. And what I agree is like that we really have to rise up as people and take responsibility about ourselves to say, okay, where do I put in that energy into? Do I put it into currently into the corona crisis where the economical fall down, or do I take that energy and focus on, okay, that economic can get back to the normal or even better? And I think that's so important for us to realize that we have the responsibility to make a choice to lead it into a direction that gives us hope and a future that we can build on.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. So when we spoke, we had our pre-interview, I think a few weeks ago, you gave me, I was taking notes while we were talking. So one of the things I heard you say was that it's very important to know yourself, to live the unlimited life. And we didn't have an opportunity for me to dig deeper into that because that's a pretty profound statement. Can you explain?
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many things that I can share, so it's quite difficult to make a start. But what I realized throughout my life that the more you know yourself, the more you know about your strengths, passion, and values, the beliefs that you have, the more you can stand firm on when troubles are coming. Because what I see today is that a lot of people who are living a life that they are not what they are living for. The reason why I say that is you have to imagine, let's say, we are naturally drawn to a crowd, let's say a crowd of 100 people, and maybe 50 of them do exactly what they want to do in that crowd. Let's say they go for a great trip into the Antarctic, but the other 50 people, they have difficulties to have courage to take themselves away from the crowd, because it takes courage to get away from the crowd and start something new. So here's the thing. When you know yourself, and know, of course, again, it's a lifelong process to know yourself, but at some point you have established a certain level of value, strength, passion, knowledge, and belief that you know, okay, this is my belief, that's what I stand for. So let's say I get out from the crowd because I know the Antarctic is not my thing because it's very cold. I'm not going to grow and flourish up there because that's not my environment that I want to live in. I need to go into the south where it's something warmer, where it has beautiful ponds, ocean beaches that I can flourish. And so the whole point about that, the example that I gave you, is that because the more you know yourself, the more you can get into the direction where you are really called to do, to be, and to have. And so I believe that everybody has a purpose. A purpose means that you can get out in the morning and do the things you love to do, not always the things that you want to do, or there are often things that you need to do that you might not love to do. But you know what I mean? Like, most of the day is like, okay, I'm living fully in what I'm called to do in this world. And this is so important to know yourself, because the more you do that, the more you can stand firm as well. What I realized over the past few years, you can set better boundaries. You know what is good for you. You know where you have to stop, you know, where you have to set a boundary. And that is so important. And I think a lot of people miss that. And that's why I think so many people have difficulties today to, when they get older, in terms, if they don't change, or if they don't realize, okay, I have to make a change, they live a life in regret, and which leads to total loss of the identity, total loss of realizing, hey, what have I done with my life? I have probably worked for somebody else, or done life with somebody else, or with done life with something that I didn't want to do. And the more, and I believe that the more important it is to really know yourself, the more you can live a life of fulfillment, a life of positivity, a life of hope, and a life of faith that leads to you into a direction that fully aligns with your inner core being.
That's beautiful. I think what I heard from you is that we need to establish a baseline at some point, whether we're a teenager, young married, whatever point we are, we should at least recognize that we have a baseline, and these are our morals, our values, our Christianity, our religion, whatever it is, our ethics, and then build daily from that. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's so important to spend a lot of time with yourself, because my biggest example, and I'm a person of faith, and I believe that God loves each person unconditionally in this world. And my biggest example is Jesus, who has spent so much time with himself to realize, I know stories that are told in the Bible, that he went to the mountains, he went to the lake, he went there to spend time. And the beautiful thing is that every time he had spent a lot of time with himself, people were drawn to him and he could help them. And it's very interesting, because it's almost impossible to know yourself in the business, because you get so drawn to different things that other people do, and you think like, okay, that's strange, I want to do that as well, but then you don't want to do it, and then you end up doing it. And what my point is here is, like, the more you spend time with yourself, and for me, for me especially as well, spending time with with God, who unconditionally loves everybody, who is for me a father, who the more I spend time with him or with myself, the more I realize that the fulfillment comes, and the things that are inside me I can give to this world. And this is so, yeah, it's somehow very interesting, but I believe this is so powerful to do. And yeah, to align the identity with God's identity, because he created us in his image. And I think the more we go into his presence, into his image, the more we can bring his image that he is into this world, which is loving people, giving them hope and a future. And yeah, that's what I believe.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Listen, you know this because I've shared this with you before, but I am a true introvert. I mean, a genuine, highly functioning, highly committed introvert. I've been this way all my life. But I finally realized that I had to create a lifestyle that allowed me to be off by myself, to be by myself 98% of the time. I think I'm a much better person for that. I don't play well with others. I do not do well in crowds. And I'm not a herd animal or a pack animal. So what I'm trying to say, I guess, is that you need to have that baseline. You need to know who you are and then create the life and the energy that you're supposed to be doing. If somebody were to tell me, Denise, you need to get out more, I'd just look at them funny. No, I really don't. I'm not happy out there. Never have been. Don't enjoy it at all. In fact, I'm good for about 59 and three quarter minutes. After that, I have to go because I'm exhausted. But I learned it. And I learned it, and I learned how to cope with it. And I have to tell you, I'm a much happier, much more stable person for creating a lifestyle that resonates with who I am. And I think that people, if they will take the time to figure out who they are, what their purpose is, what it is that they can do for others as a servant leadership or just an act of kindness. God knows the world needs random acts of kindness right about now. If you pay attention to the things that really make you feel good about yourself and good about other people, whether you're face-to-face with them or not, you'll be a much better person. And that resonates. It's kind of like when you throw a pebble out into a still lake and you see that ever-widening concentric circle. It just keeps going out and out and out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I completely agree with you. It's way easier to go into a place where it's very noisy, because that's where it's happening, and where the vibe is going on and the excitement thing. But if we actually think about when you spend time with yourself, you get such incredible calmness and peace, and your mind shifts to something like, okay, I can be patient. It doesn't actually need to go that fast as everybody tells me to do. And there are so many different aspects within that to really slow down, to be honest, if we look to the greatest successful people in this world and in the history, they were mostly people that most of the time they spend for themselves. And I think that the challenge comes with to be that one person to get out of that 100 people crowd, because as soon as you do that, the voices start coming out and say, hey, come back, come back. And Even we know as well that some businesses, they have maybe had 10 years of, or even longer, they developed, they researched, they did a lot of work in the back, and all of a sudden it explodes, and that's a beautiful thing.
I agree with you. So when you're quiet with yourself, when you can sit and honestly just kind of let ideas come to you. I don't know about you. When I hit the shower, I've actually had to buy bathtub crayons, because when I'm in the shower, these ideas just flow over me with the water. It's crazy. And I can't get those. I can't save them. You know, they come so fast and so furious. They're not coming from me. They're just downloaded into my brain. And I actually scribble all over my shower. And, you know, all this insight that comes my way, I scribble it. Once I'm out of the shower, I grab my phone, I take a picture of it, then I wash the crayon off. But because I'm quiet, because there's no distractions, I'm not listening to anything or talking to anybody or yelling at the cat to quit yelling at me, whatever's going on. And all of a sudden, insights just come fast and furious. So I guess my next, and I have a point for saying that. So the question I have, and you say this, what am I here for? Is this when you're quiet, is this when you ask these questions? Because you say it helps you to be satisfied your whole life long.
Yeah, absolutely. The more you take time with yourself, the more you know what's important. And it has been my experience, especially in very difficult times, because I realized that when I'm in the back, you think a couple or even a few things, you overthink things, and you don't rush into something. And so you basically take your time to reflect on what would be the best to do right now or to do tomorrow or whatever. And that's when it comes into play, that you know, okay, what I have to do, which comes from what am I here for? Like, what am I here for to do? Because again, it's like you can get out there and find a place, but if you really think about it, doesn't, if you're in the wrong place, then it doesn't really satisfy you because you do something differently than what you should do. And if that makes sense.
It does. So that leads me to, how can you create a dream with your passions and your values and your strength by finding them, you know, whatever, however you find them, whether it's in a crowd, whether it's by yourself, in your quiet time, how can you create that dream using those things?
Great question. I think it's a lifelong process. For me, when I first created one of my dreams, I realized, for example, the dream of building a non-profit organization to build hospitals in slums. So I remember I was on a couch, I was finishing with the college that I did in Australia. I was starting out as a speaker, but I wanted to do something that will be still existing when I once my time is up on this earth. So I realized, well, I have the strength of being generous. I love to be generous, and I have the strength to turn a difficult situation into something positive. So I went through maybe a few days, and all of a sudden I realized, well, what about I build a nonprofit organization in the future that build hospitals? And here was the thing. I was like thinking, okay, I want to do something financially. And what happened was, I thought like, okay, there are so many, how do you say that, homeless organizations and schools out there that are already existing. What about I take my my experience of being probably 50% of my life in the hospital, to take that and turn it into something good. And so those two strengths, or which are two of many, I realized, okay, they actually go very well together. And all of a sudden, I had that light bulb moment to connect them and to say, okay, yeah, let's do that somehow. To build an angel, to use that strength and gift of being generous in the future to allow people to get access to health, not just physical health, but also mental and spiritual health. And that's how I think, again, the more we think about those things, how can we connect them, how can we, what's the best constellation within our passion, strengths, and values that we develop or that we come to acknowledge when we spend a lot of time with ourselves, then that's the way I think it comes. It's almost like we walk in the talk, and all of a sudden we realize there's a function where you can turn off the light, and then the light gets brighter and brighter.
Understood. So, Nathaniel, you spent 50% of your life in a hospital. My question is, and I'm not even sure how to phrase this, because I am, thank goodness, very healthy, and I intend to remain healthy. So I don't really know much about hospitals or even doctors. Has it been your experience that most hospitals, most physicians, nurses, they're worried about the body and the mechanics of the body rather than the entire body, the brain, the mind, the soul, your thoughts? Has that been true or not true? Because I'm noticing, and I'm asking because of, you know, the experiences that my brother goes through, and he's, you know, being cared for frequently in one of the best hospitals in the country, but I don't have the sense that they pay much attention to his thinking or how he's really doing. They're worried about keeping the lungs moving, keeping the dialysis moving, but nobody, as far as I can tell, is talking to him about the inner person. Was that your experience, or yes, no, part of the time? I'm just very curious how this works.
Yeah, I think for me personally, the inner person, which I call the spirit, is really the main center of our life, because the reality is that so many times in my life I've been diagnosed that I should never be able to walk, talk, amount to anything. We all know that the body, the flesh, and all that is to a certain point
fragile.
Really,
we're very fragile.
Say again.
So we're very fragile. I think people don't understand just how fragile the body is.
Yeah, the flesh and the body is really fragile, actually.
Right.
What I love that is like in my mind, so in my life, that even my body was fragile, or still is in some part, or everybody's body is fragile. Actually, we have something inside us that I think is just the code, you know, and I believe it's the spirit that never we can feed the spirit, or we can feed something else in our life. And I think like what's amazing, the body itself is like a huge miracle, which are a lot of things. It's so complex, but at the same time it's so fragile. And I think if I answer your question, it's all about the inside, because we get older, the body gets older, but at the same time, even though the body gets older, we can keep the spirit young. And this is so important that you know, because it's almost a never-ending journey in the spirit to live on that.
I agree with you. You know, I've had people say, why don't you ever get sick? Because truly, I never do. Part of that, and I'll just say, well, I live alone. I don't pick up other people's cooties, which is part of it. But the rest of it, honestly, Nathaniel, is it just doesn't occur to me that I'm not going to be healthy. My brain thinks I'm healthy. My mind and my spirit thinks I'm healthy. So I'm healthy. It just doesn't occur to me to let any other thought come through that.
Yeah, I agree. I think the more the inside is healthier, the more it reflects onto the outside.
I agree. So you talk about daily developing a victorious mindset, and we've covered that a little bit, but can you give us some examples?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I shared already in the beginning what it really means is to make a decision daily to go on the left or the right direction, or what it means like being negative or being positive. For me, it's a victorious mindset. It's all about staying and being victoriously, even when it feels like everything is falling apart around me, on me, or within me. And so a victorious mindset also looks at what is possible. Let me give you a little story. So I was traveling from a conference back in 2018 back to Switzerland, or so you know, it was beginning 19. And so in the plane, above the cloud, I look out and saw all the unlimited sky. And so what I did was like, I wanted to try something and wrote everything down, what I wanted to see, be, do, or have in the future. And the interesting thing was, when it comes to my health, section, I talked about, I want to do something crazy with when I turn 30 years old, which was about 6 months away. And I was in the plane, was thinking about, okay, what about if I could run a 30km race? And the first thing that happened when that came to my mind is all the negative talks come back that say, hey, you were prognosed that you will never be able to walk. Of course, I always could walk, but you know, all these things were, no, that's not going to happen. 30km, it's just too much for my body. I'm going to die, my lungs are going to shut off or whatever, and all those talks coming to my mind. So what I did then was basically to imagine to daily, so I wrote it down. Later on, I created a picture in my mind that said, okay, I'm going to finish the 30km lane. I'm going to step over that lane. And every day I did that. And then what happened was I started to train more. So let me say that I haven't, I was running before, but you know, maybe 1-3 kilometers, and no, all the time it was maybe 10 times more. And so what I did was I was going through that picture of stepping over the finish line daily, and I realized it gave me so much momentum and that drive and that desire to train more. And that's what I did. And then I started to train about 2-3 months before. I started to train more and more. And then on my 30th birthday, I did the race. And the interesting thing was like it really happened the way I imagined. Of course, there were a lot of pain included. If I would have listened to my body, I would have given up with maybe at 18 kilometers. But what I did was to really say, okay, today I'm gonna do it. If I do the first step, I'm not gonna turn back. And it exactly happened the way I imagined. And the cool thing is like our mind is so capable to create faith, which I said in the beginning, to look at something that's not existing yet and walk in that, and then all, and if we do our part, it's gonna turn into it's going to exist, it's going to turn around. And one of my one of the first in the Bible that always comes to my mind is as a man thinketh, so he is. And this has been so true in my life, because whatever we think, what we actually believe, thinking is nothing else than believing on something that is not existing yet. And that's what I call a victorious mindset, because we constantly, daily, we focus on the victory, whether it's there or not there yet, or we haven't seen or felt yet. We actually can make the choice to develop a victorious mindset.
Thank you for sharing that. And listen, this is not the first time I've heard this or even noticed this in my own life. If you pay attention to a lot of sports figures, which I don't, but Tiger Woods, the golfer, comes to my mind, because he always pictured, he had coaches, he practiced a lot, but he always had this vision in his head, what he was going to do, how it was going to turn out, what it was going to mean to him. And he had to fight back after that huge scandal some years ago, and he fought back hard. But my understanding is, and I may be dead wrong, but my understanding is he just put aside the negative, and there was a lot of it, and he pictured victory, and he got it. And, you know, you hear this from titans of industry. You hear this from, you know, people who were in the news, you know, how they got where they are, because they didn't take no for an answer, and that no being the no from themselves. They didn't hear no. They heard yes, go do it. And look, I believe you. I mean, I have had this happen in my life so many times when I catch myself saying, oh, Denise, you don't want to do that. You can't do that. I do exactly what you just said. I go take the first step. And that first step may have me arguing with myself the whole darn way. But once I take that first step, I'm like, well, what the heck was the problem here? Sometimes your brain or your thinking is your worst enemy. So we need to identify how to get over that, have a victorious mindset, how to inspire yourself to live a big life, and just sometimes tell yourself to shut the heck up.
Yeah, absolutely. However, that's almost impossible to shut
our head. I do try. I have little mini arguments like, Denise, knock it off. Go to your room. Just shut up. It doesn't do any good, but I have fun with it.
You can do that when you're dead, sure. But before, you will have to struggle to, and the tension to choose the talks wisely, to get to what you believe for.
Exactly. So when you've been in the hospital a lot, you've had multiple surgeries, and you're still going through, I guess, lifelong dialysis. When did you finally discover that you had a bigger purpose and it wasn't to lay in a hospital bed and go, oh, woe is me. My head hurts. You know, that hurts. Don't poke me there. When did you figure out, I'm guessing, and this is a pure guess, that you were pretty young when you said, you know, I can do much better than they say I can do, and I do have a purpose?
Great question. I think it wasn't a one-time event. It all started with 11 years old when I lost my third kidney transplant after 13 months. And for me, that was the time when I was on my highest wave in my life, because all I wanted as a child was a kidney. And before the previous two kidney transplants, I didn't realize, I realized what's happening. At one time I was 5 years old, the other time I was 8 years old. But when I was, 11, I got the kidney, I had it for 30 months, so I was almost 13 years old. And that's where I really realized, okay, I'm on the top of my life. I got a kidney, but I still don't have everything. And for me, that was the moment when I realized something inside me is missing. And, So I always wanted to take that step to get into a relationship with God, and I think that's something that where my purpose started to come out of me. And then I lost a kidney again after a couple months later. I was, of course, still disappointed. But it was different than before. Before I wanted to, I was very, especially in the second kidney transplant, I was very depressed for 2 weeks. I wanted to take my own life, but I didn't
do
it for some reason. And I was, my mind was all about, let's end that life. But on the other side, my parents realized that they have to do something, and then they called in pastoral care that helped us to, especially myself, to realize that there's more to life than right now this year. Of course, it was both of the events were a huge disappointment, but on the last event of losing my kidney transplant with 13 years old, I started to believe that everything will work out for good. And I realized that over the last 20 years that a purpose is not necessarily a one-day event, or a purpose is always developing. And so to probably when I was about 20 years old, I really realized that I want to use my story to inspire people. And it has been developed since then. It always more and more things are added. I've become really passionate and desirable about financial things in the past few years. So I think a purpose is always developing, and I love that we can step into it and go within what we desire in the inside to do. And for me, it's all about staying on the ball, stepping into things, acknowledging the desire that we have, which comes back again to knowing who we are, because the better we know ourselves, the better we can know the desire that we have, and then we can go towards that.
Exactly. I'm almost speechless. Your story is just so amazing. I have to ask, do you have a kidney now?
Right now, I'm still on dialysis since 2001. And that was actually the last kidney transplant that I had. So it's almost 20 years since the last time. But the cool thing is a lot of medical development has been done over the last two decades, and I'm back on the waiting list for another kidney with a way better perspective in terms of treating my chronic illness when it comes to a kidney transplant. And I'm really optimistic that it will work. It's been a long time since going three times to the dialysis, 20 years in a row, or almost 20 years in a row, but I got a faith that I get a perfect kidney, or even two kidneys, so I believe for that, and it's a matter of time.
Understood. One thing that I've noticed from my brother, one of the big changes for him, because he seriously is, I call him the Energizer Bunny. He doesn't stop. He just doesn't stop. He's always up. He's always moving. He's always doing something. But what happened with him was that, and it wasn't just all of a sudden, it was always there. It's just because he's just so busy and, you know, doing things for other people. I don't think he really paid much attention to gratitude. And he now honors the person who gave him those lungs. He's very aware that he is alive because somebody had to die. It doesn't escape his notice at all.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, I think, the most important in a situation like that, in a difficult situation in general, is to look at what can happen, and to really, whatever your learning style is, to make a picture of it, or audio record it, and or write it down, to really hold on. And to, I think for me, is I believe in a God who is unconditionally loving, who wants to have a life not to harm, but to have a life full of purpose and full of life. And it doesn't always look like that, because we live in a crappy, crazy world, and there's always the tension between good and bad. But what I realize is like that we always can hold on to a God who loves us, who sees and wants the best for us in the future. And that really has taken me through the most crazy difficulties in my life, and sometimes he takes his time more than we wish, but at the end of the day, as I said, all things will work out together for good, And that's what I believe for anyone's future and for my future as well. And it gives you a lot of hope. It's not the end of life. There's a lot of hope out there, a lot of expectation that arise by that. And so it helps us to keep going.
Thank you, Nathaniel. It's really been wonderful speaking with you, and I thank you for all of the wonderful stories and the advice that you've shared with our audience. Before I let you go, where can people find you?
You can best find me on my two websites. So one is a personal one, which is nathanieltrubeck.com, and the other one is my business website, which is unlimityou.co. And get a hold of the free ebook that you can download, which helps you to 4 steps to unlimit your life and really get you through the process to identify all that we have talked through.
Yeah, I downloaded it yesterday. Nathaniel, thank you so much. And before we say goodbye, I would like to remind our audience to be sure to look for us on iTunes and anywhere else you consume your business podcasts. Just look for Your Partner in Success and take us along on your success journey. Nathaniel, thank you. I really appreciate you being here, and God bless.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Bye. Okay, for some reason, this is not going to...
Yep.